to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Hi, welcome to The Leap, coming to you live from the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Gordon. I own a small business, Gordy's Pickle Jar, and one of my favorite things about being a small business owner is talking with and learning from other entrepreneurs. And every Wednesday, I get to have these conversations on air by bringing together small business owners from a wide range of disciplines to share stories, wisdom, tip, and advice. On today's show, I'm super excited to chat with entrepreneurs Ariel and Atara, co-founders of Pineapple Collaborative, which is kind of part-time event planning, part-time online publication. How do you...
Yeah,
it's good question. Good question.
People are always like, what is it? And we've evolved a lot, especially for those who have known us since day one in DC. But we say we are a community for women who love food, and we provide a platform for women to express their style, identity, and values through food.
Awesome.
And our core activities, which is always kind of the like, but what is it?
What do you do actually?
Yeah, we host in-person events in DC, New York, and San Francisco once a month in each market. We have digital content. We have a radio show also, and we're very active on social media.
Got it all. Welcome. Yeah. Thanks for joining this afternoon.
Thanks for having us,
Sarah.
So you guys both left your day jobs to pursue this passion of bringing women together around good food, which is awesome. Today, the collaborative has over 60,000 women who convene online and offline with food as a centerpiece, which is quite a feat to see what you guys have done in just a few years. As a partner and a friend, I can attest to that you guys are all doing it. I like it.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us from the early days.
So happy to chat here today with you guys. But before we talk all things Pineapple, I wanted to chat a bit about the road that led you here. So can you tell us, you know, kind of what you were doing before you took the leap? I'll let you guys kind of battle it out as to who goes first on that one.
Atara, go for it.
I was going to say you should go for it because that's usually how we tell our story.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're looking for like our personal journey, how we got here, right?
Yeah. Just like how did you, like what were you doing, you know, prior to taking the leap to being an entrepreneur?
Yeah, cool. Totally. So I was doing lots of things in food prior to starting Pineapple. I've always been obsessed with food, and I use the word obsessed because it's genuinely all that I can think about, for better or for worse. And, you know, I knew when I graduated from college, I went into consulting. I was actually a national security consultant, believe it or not. And while it was interesting intellectually, I remember sitting at my desk for like 10, 12 hours a day, sometimes 7 days a week. And I was like, man, this blows. Like, I really want to do something creative and entrepreneurial. And I happened to find Chaya, which is a seasonal veggie taco shop that started in DC farmers markets at a local farmers market. And I tasted their tacos. It was a peak of summer, beautiful summer produce. And they changed my life. I was like, this product is so beautiful, so delicious. I just like want to be a part of it. So I emailed the two founders, who I know you've had on radio, and said, hey, can I help you build this company? And luckily, they took a chance on me. I had never done anything in food or branding or, you know, the business world per se, and, you know, helped them build this brand that, you know, ended up being featured in Bon Appetit magazine and Goop. And, you know, it's a favorite restaurant of so many folks in D.C. and outside of D.C. Gordy's Pickles has some delish jalapenos
we love
there.
Those tacos. It was so awesome to see Obama and Biden out the door the other day over there.
Yeah.
Super cool.
I so wish I was there. I was waiting for that day. But anyway, you know, fast forward, worked with them for 3 years. And in that process, I began getting to know so many women in food in the D.C. area. And I had actually moved back to D.C. from New York and felt like there wasn't the community for women in food that I wanted. So I began hosting events kind of as a side project, which, you know, grew and grew. And we saw that most of the women who were coming weren't actually industry food women, but rather women who love food. And they had day jobs from, you know, law to nursing, whatever, you name it. And we were providing, Pineapple's providing an opportunity for them to connect with the women in food who inspired them the most. So that was a really awesome thing to see grow. And I never thought this was going to be a business when I started it. It was really just like a fun side project, a great way to meet people and do all sorts of fun things, if you will. And then there just came a point where it was like brands were reaching out to us. We had real big names like Christina Tosi reach out to us. And I was like, this has value. And we're not optimizing that value at all. So I'll stop here, but there came a point where it was like, this can be a business.
Awesome.
Yeah. And as for me, you know, I also have loved food since the minute I was old enough to hold a knife and just like be around my mom cooking food, who always made big meals for Shabbat every Friday. Grew up in a big Jewish family. And I studied photography and environmental studies when I was in college. So I got a really nice blending of like art, which is still you know, a huge inspiration to me in my day-to-day job, and also food and how it relates to the environment. Arielle and I actually met at the farmer's market right when she was launching Pineapple and right as she started working for Chaya. We became really good friends. We stayed in touch. I was working for Sweetgreen at the time, building their social impact department. So I learned a ton about business and sustainability and social impact. And it really like laid the groundwork for me personally. And yeah, I mean, Arielle and I kind of just stayed in touch. Like I said, I went to a bunch of Pineapple events. Fast forward 2 years later, I had left Sweetgreen to pursue my own business. I was building like a creative consulting business for food companies. And Arielle needed some help building the brand identity for Pineapple. And we got together and started just like jamming and talking about Pineapple and the vision that we had for it. And something kind of just sparked. We kind of both felt like it was the right time to partner up together. We saw so much potential in what we were doing. And we both like quit our day jobs, like you said, Sarah, and took the leap.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Quite the duo. It sounds like you guys have, you know, like food has always been kind of a centerpiece in both of your lives. So it's a little bit like, this was destined, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what was it like... you know, going out on your own. So like the first 6 months, like 3 to 6 months, was it scary? Was it, I mean, how did you guys kind of like navigate where Pineapple was going to go?
Yeah. I think it was really scary.
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't anticipate just like how anxious I would be managing the business and ensuring that like we were making money every month, you know, to pay ourselves as well as to like invest back in the business. And I remember like,
I mean, I want to just back up for 1 second. So did you, yeah, you didn't have like this like robust business plan. It was kind of like figure out as you go.
Yeah. So we had already, you know, started like monetizing our events before doing this full time. So we like had a sense for like, here's the potential. But no, we didn't have a solid business plan. We built it. We've been building it as we've, you know, as I like to say, build the plane while you fly it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Build the plane while you fly it and fake it till you make it are like my two MOs, if you will. Because it's just
build the plane while you fly. It sounds a little scary.
I mean,
fake it
is.
Till you make it doesn't, but,
no, well, it is, yeah, it is it totally is. Scary because it was like, I took the leap, and I think Atara did too, because of the potential we saw in it. Not because someone was like, here's $10,000 and here's $10,000.
Yeah.
You know, we had to go out and say like, all right, we need that money, to do this work. So we, in the last year, have learned so much about, you know, negotiations and, partnerships and closing the deal and just really building that confidence to like ask for what you're worth and make the case for why someone like a Caviar or Sweetgreen should invest in, you know, our business. Because that's really what they're doing, is investing in our business as well as a community of women who love food, which I think is part of the compelling proposition of working with Pineapple, is it's not just one person, but really like lifting up, you know, all of the various women and women-powered businesses we feature and, you know, this community of women who love food. They're seeing Sweetgreen align with us and supporting this mission.
Yeah, yeah, it's really, really great. And it's such like a diverse group of women. You know, it's not just like you were saying, it's, I feel like, such a wide range of people coming to Pineapple events and supporting Pineapple. How was it for you?
I mean, a lot of the same. I think for me, you know, I was building my own business about a year prior to partnering up with Ariel to build Pineapple. And so I had already kind of been primed to this idea of like, if you don't make this deal, like, you're not going to bring home any money this month. Like, I already was kind of in that frame of mind. So when Ariel was talking about the fact that, like, going into Pineapple, there were absolutely no guarantees as to, like, what was going to happen, if we were able to pay ourselves anything, I already was in that frame of mind from consulting and building my freelance business, but it was a tremendous amount of pressure, and it still is. Mm-hmm. I think we're getting better at like projecting ahead of time and being like, this is what we're going to need to like fund this project. So, you know, that's been very helpful, just thinking ahead, but you know, it's still a tremendous amount of pressure.
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone who wants to run their own business, there's like two things that you like need to have in order to make it through, which is one, savings, you know, so that you're like, God forbid, like I don't make money for 1 month, 6 months, like I'm okay.
Yeah.
So make sure you got that.
Which is a very privileged position, by the way, and we're very lucky to be in that.
Certainly. Yeah. But I think I would have quit probably, you know, a few months in if I didn't have that to fall back on. And then the second thing is like an incredibly supportive network. So like, pretty sure if Atara and I weren't working together, like we would not be sitting here because we provide each other with so much support.
Yeah.
You know, my partner, my parents, like their encouragement constantly when I like doubted myself or when I was like, God, what the fuck am I doing?
It's amazing to see your mom at like every event. She's like your number one cheerleader.
She's the best
Cheerleader, advisor. I think that's been a huge benefit to us. I mean, in the entrepreneurial space, especially for women, we always talk about the importance of mentorship, and I'm so lucky and we're so lucky that we have a mentor in my mom who's a serial entrepreneur and just like is always challenging us to like think big. I think that's one of the things that allowed me to see the potential in Pineapple being a business is this is actually like a this is the silver lining. So my mom worked for Hillary Clinton and was fundraising for her for the last presidential election, and when she lost, my mom suddenly had all this time on her hands and started coming to Pineapple events, like every single one, and asking me what's going on with Pineapple. And she looked at me, you know, January of 2016 or 2017. She was like, dude, this is a business. Like, you need to make this a business. And like in my head, I had never really like thought of like, oh, I can make this a business because it was just this fun side project that I was doing. So I think her encouragement starting from there and then like every single step of the way and her mentorship just has allowed us to do so much.
Have you guys had like other mentors beside your mom kind of guide you and direct you?
Yeah, totally. I mean, we have basically, you know, a whole gaggle of like, you know, informal advisors essentially. And we go to them with different questions we have about the business. Each of them are kind of experts in some area. You know, one of those advisors is Ann Yang, who is a founding member of Pineapple, but she also has been really tremendously helpful in understanding business development and our product pipeline and all of these things that I think, you know, we don't necessarily have in our tool shed. So like Ariel said, I mean, I think having this, you know, this network of amazing, brilliant, talented women at our disposal has been very helpful.
So I feel like you guys have done such an incredible job navigating the event space and giving members conversation and content that's relevant for, you know, women across the board, covering a wide range of disciplines. So big high five for that. I wanted to know like a little bit about the process of curating like those events. You know, like how do you know, I guess, I mean, you guys are so in tune with kind of like what's hot on the scene or, you know, in food and other things, but like, how do you, I guess, I mean, do you curate an event being like, okay, I know that, you know, like 100 people are going to come to this event?
Mm-hmm. Such a good question, Sarah.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways I could answer this, but I think, you know, we, our decision-making is very much rooted in our guiding philosophy, Pine 4, which is the idea that admiring other women, women-made products, women-powered businesses creates community. And it's this like process of active admiration. So given that we are two women who like very much love food, we're always asking ourselves, like, what do we love right now? Who are we pining for? And sort of going from there to create content. And the second thing that I would say is I think our second lens is, you know, we think of the pineapple woman. So anytime we're producing an event or writing content, anything, we're like, what does the pineapple woman want? And we feel like the pineapple woman, she loves food from both like a substance and a style perspective. So she loves posting beautiful photos of her food on Instagram, going to the coolest new restaurants, you know, getting the latest cookbook. She also really cares about sourcing and sustainability. Where is her food from? Does food justice look like in her community? And then, you know, how is she part of our bigger food system? So we think about that and that coexists within one woman. So it should coexist within the same brand, within the same company. So that's why you see a range of different ideas and conversations and themes with pineapple events and digital content and social media, because that's like the world of a pineapple woman.
Like it. I'm a pineapple woman.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Would you say the same, kind of the same?
Yeah, no, I think that was a great answer overall. I would add that, you know, something that's been a tremendous privilege for us is that we've been able to cultivate this, you know, very engaged and broad community of women. And, you know, bringing someone to a pineapple event or radio or a Pine 4 pantry, it's really tremendous exposure for that woman. So what we try to do, especially at our events, is if we have a luminary like Marissa Ross coming into town, we really want to pair her with someone in the community that hasn't had the chance to share her story, that we've been admiring, that we think she, you know, she's doing such great work and we really love, you know, all of her projects, and we really want to put her in front of an audience. And that has really allowed us to be able to like lift as we climb. Mm. And that's been a really great way to structure like the women that we're featuring.
Yeah. And a great way to grow community. You know, what I think I love most about Pineapple is that, you know, that you guys are doing this great thing of highlighting women entrepreneurs and just, you know, women at large, kind of why you continue to grow your small business. So it's like, you know, so great. I mean, who has a job where like, you know, the more that they promote women, the better their business,
yeah,
you know, it like grows. It's really,
it's truly awesome.
It's yeah.
I mean, you know, when I think about my dream job, Pineapple is it, because the thing that I most love to do is like talk with women about food and drink, and, you know, connect and, you know, share ideas. And that is what Pineapple is all about. So I have to remind myself that when the going, you know, gets tough sometimes, that like ultimately, you know, living my dream.
So you kind of touched on this. I think we could probably go in like a little bit more depth about it, but I wanted to know, you know, I think that, you know, the commonality of like Pineapple members is, you know, food and how it's influenced their lives and careers or in some way. I just wanted to know like a little bit more about, you know, this member. I mean, I think that you kind of like encompassed it all, you know, but I you know, I guess what portion of women are like, you know, really love come food, want to try that like new beer that you guys are, you know, talking about, or that natural wine, or like women that are coming because, you know, Christina Tausi's there and they want to, you know, figure out like how she did it.
Hmm. So you're asking more about like who is the pineapple woman and what does she pine for?
Yeah, kind of.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I think what we're trying to tap into really, Ariel mentioned this before, but when pineapple started, it was very much about like women in food convening to talk about food. What we see so much more opportunity in is the fact that like as women, we all have a very strong identity with food, whether it's our heritage, you know, how we style our kitchens or how we make decisions at the farmer's market. Sometimes it can be a difficult identity, a complicated relationship with food. But what we're trying to do is make pineapple relevant to all women because right. all women love food.
Because yeah. I've seen it evolve, you know, over the years of, you know, I mean, obviously DC was so supportive of it and, you know, kind of if you were in food, you knew about pineapple and kind of like how do you expand like those members and that audience, you know, to people that like food isn't their everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really good question.
It's a great question. So I think one thing that's always been really important for us at Pineapple is creating an environment that's very warm and inclusive across the board. So when I lived in New York and I wanted to be in the food industry and I would go to food industry events, but I myself didn't actually like have a full-time job in food. I always felt like an outsider and like I was made to feel like an outsider, like, oh, like you're no one. So why are you here? Like you haven't opened a restaurant or you're not featured in Bon Appetit. And I always felt like that was the wrong way of looking at it. First of all, I was their best customer. I would like come to every single one of their events. So I'm like, dude, value my being here.
Yeah.
But second of all, I was like, you know,
I give you all my money.
Exactly. So that was annoying. But I think more importantly, it's just like women love food. How can we create an experience, provide opportunities for them to connect around their love for food with, you know, learn things, connect with like-minded women and just like get inspired, because I think we fundamentally believe food is an incredible lens to view the world and the issues that we care about as women, as humans. So why would we exclude, you know, the lawyer who loves cooking coming to our event? That just made no sense to me. And I think it's a great opportunity for women in the industry because like Gordy's Pickle Jar, how many of your customers are people in the food industry? Probably only a small percentage. So when we feature you at Pineapple, you're getting in front of your customers who, you know, existing or new customers who love food, want to get to know you better, want to get to know your brand better. So that's just a win-win for everyone.
Right. I agree. So starting a business is incredibly taxing on your time, your emotional resources, your finances, your life generally. I can attest. What advice or tips would you give someone trying to like start out? We kind of touched on it earlier in terms of like, you know, maybe having a little cushion, you know, support system. I think another one on there that, you know, when you were talking, I was thinking of, but is learning to find out a way to be really lean, you know, when you're, mm-hmm. you're starting out. But kind of what would you guys, you know, when people are like, you know, how'd you do it? What advice can you give me? I know already probably with, you know, I mean, your guys' success and stuff that people are probably reaching out to you and asking you like these kind of questions.
That's a lot of very nice.
Yeah. Thank you. I feel like there are a lot of lessons we've learned the hard way, but a lot of tools that we use to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves. I mean, I think a big guiding force of how we operate internally is always like, take care of yourself first before you come to work. So there are times when Ariel and I will take the morning off and do yoga or go for a run. We always respect each other's boundaries when we're like, hey, like I don't have any more creative juice in my brain. I need to like sleep and like take some time off. So I think that's really helped us be like the best versions of ourselves at work. And then the second thing that I personally have learned.
So balance is a good
balance
good one.
And like take care of yourself. Yeah. Get enough sleep. Like exercise, cook for yourself.
I like to call that what Atara just explained, like do what feels good.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, I'm down to work, like, all the time, like, stay up till 2 in the morning, and, like, I'm jamming. Sometimes I'm like, yo, I need to start at noon today, like, today, because I was like, I gotta go to yoga, I gotta eat breakfast, I gotta shower, you know, and one thing that I said to myself.
And that's kind of like the nice luxury of having a flexible schedule in your own business.
Yeah. But I mean, sometimes.
It's an idea that we hope to carry through as we build our team and create a culture.
But, you know, you can. It's very easy to be like, yo, like, this business, like, relies on me doing the work. I don't have time to go to yoga or eat a nice breakfast. I have to work because every minute counts.
Yeah.
It feels like that sometimes.
I feel like that's how me and Sheila were at the start of 40s. We kind of didn't breathe for like the first 5 years.
Yeah.
And we always look back and we're like, we should have took more time for ourselves.
Totally.
Yeah, and it's not sustainable. You'll burn out.
Yeah.
And it's just not.
You want to enjoy the ride.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
My one piece of advice that I think is really important for women is to have confidence in yourself that you can do it. So if you make the decision to take the leap and go forward with your dreams, your passion, your business plan, is to say, like, I can do this, and to find that confidence in yourself to do new things you've never done before, right? So for example, I was just at this fellowship at Stone Barnes Center for Agriculture with 8 other amazing women. And there's one woman on my fellowship. She is like one of the most badass fishermen in the country. She like
the Real Housewives of Stone Barnes. That's
totally
what it sounded like.
Totally. real world. But, you know, she was saying that she really struggles with asking people for money. She's on the board of a nonprofit. And, you know, I was like, you are like the most badass fisherman. You have so much confidence and know-how in that. Like, put yourself in that frame of mind when you go to ask money. It's like this fake it till you make it. You need to boost yourself up with that confidence. But I feel like that goes such a long way. And every time you doubt yourself, which I doubt myself multiple times a week, you know, just counter that with like, I can do this. And find that place within you where you're like, I got this.
Yeah, you got to have it before, before you could kind of get everyone on board.
Yeah.
To think that you got it.
Exactly.
Right. I feel like one thing that you do really well that is super important is building community and having like a support network. You know, I feel like early on when I would see you with Chaya, like doing the business development and stuff, I was just like, she's like working it, you know? And I think that network has, you know, really helped Chaya succeed and is obviously helped with Pineapple succeeding. So just maybe touch a little bit on the importance of that network.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because when we create content, we're always, you know, first asking ourselves, what does the Pineapple Woman want to hear and want to know about? But it's also about like us as Pineapple, as the Pineapple co-founders, like what do we need to know at this stage in our business? So we had the 2 co-founders from Cat Beauty on radio, and I was essentially asking her questions that Arielle and I really want to know about to help us build our own business. So a lot of the content that we create is really meta, but ultimately it helps us serve the Pineapple Woman, but it also helps us serve Pineapple and fuel our own growth.
Yeah, and those are the best interviews when you're like asking questions
right.
And then getting like wowed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Those are good ones.
I hope that's happening right now. I'll add to that by saying like community relationships have always been the most important thing to me personally, and I think very much to our business. And I guess in the realm of advice, you know, relationships are gold when it comes to building a business. It is your best asset, and it is something that you should genuinely invest in. Invest your time and really like give to other people too as much as you can, whether that's like sending someone you admire an article that you came across that reminded you of her, say, hey, I thought you would enjoy this, or you know, carving out different opportunities. But it's a give and take. It's a true relationship. It's not a transaction. And I think that is what our business is like founded on.
Yeah, which is really, really awesome. So what's next for Pineapple? More cities?
Hopefully. The way that we expand to new cities is essentially like following the breadcrumbs model. You know, we get to see where our audience is and where, you know, we get emails weekly from women across the country saying like, bring pineapple to Austin, bring pineapple to Denver, you know? And so we're collecting all this data about where the demand is, where the community is. We would like to launch in at least 2 more cities by the end of the year. And we're building out our infrastructure internally to make that happen. And kind of just also really, you know, optimizing the cities we have here and making the content better, growing our community in every city. That's kind of what we're focusing on until the end of the year.
Nice. You guys got like a hint at what could be a potential new city?
There are a few that are on our radar. LA, Chicago, Boston, Baltimore, Philly. Yeah.
Few. We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, fundamentally, like, I think we are building a brand that women can connect with. And so, you know, the in real life component in cities is super crucial because that provides an opportunity for women to get to know us as well as each other, which is like also part of getting to know us. And, you know, I think what we are thinking a lot about in terms of the future of our company is that, you know, for so many women, they express their style more through what's in their kitchens and their food choices rather than their beauty or fashion choices. And that, like, we don't treat, you know, as consumer-oriented businesses, and in this era of, like, digitally native brands like Glossier and Everlane, we don't treat food in the same way that we do fashion or beauty. And we feel like that's a problem. So I'll leave it at that.
It's a problem we're looking to solve.
Exactly. Yeah. But we're really excited about, you know, what we're doing with our city leads in SF, New York, and DC. We love our Pine 4 Pantry content. That's something that we're investing a lot in. That's our peek into the kitchens of women we admire, and sort of like into the Gloss's top shelf feature. I think just continuing to do that, listening to our audience, what do they want to see? What do they want? So we're at, send us a message or an email. We're always listening and open to ideas. So like that guides us.
Well, get it, girls. Thanks for coming on today. All eyes are on y'all. I know for one, I can't wait to see what you guys do next. And everybody listening in, tune to Leap next Wednesday, live at noon from the Lion Hotel in DC.
Thanks for having us, Sarah.
We love Gordy's.
We love Gordy's. Seriously. <Yes.
laughs> Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.